So I have to begin with a very short disclaimer, which is that I can't claim in 25 minutes, half an hour, to be able to cover such an important topic in a comprehensive way. Why we learn Torah is funny. It's one of the things that you would think would be the most pashut thing, and that you should be able to go to anybody in yeshiva and ask them why they learn Torah. On the other hand, it seems to be one of the things that, one of these questions that is a little enigmatic, and it's a little bit elusive, and people sort of start to like hum and haw when they get asked this question. That's a little bit strange, because you would think this would be the most basic thing that everybody would just be able to like say off the tip of their tongue why we learn Torah. I mean, what do you mean? It's Torah. It's the most important thing. So I'm not going to be able to address all the different perspectives. I'm only going to be able to discuss a little bit of a few things that speak to me. And there are some basic things that we're not going to discuss. Like, for instance, it's obvious that we need to learn Torah because we need to know how to live as Jews. There are 613 mitzvos, even though obviously there are many more than 613 mitzvos. And in order to properly do the mitzvos, so we have to obviously be knowledgeable in what the mitzvos are. So there's certainly a basic level of learning that needs to be done in order to be a operating and a responsible Jew. There's also, and this should be enough, there seems to be a mitzvah in the Torah to learn Torah. So the fact that we are commanded by Hashem to do a mitzvah should also technically be enough. We shouldn't need an explanation. Why do we learn Torah? The whole enterprise of Tamei HaMitzvos, right, we look at a Sefer HaChinuch, we want to know why we do a certain mitzvah, so we all know that that's not the reason why we do the mitzvah. That is something that helps us relate more to it, helps us more to connect to it more, to maybe be more connected and involved and emotionally have a relationship with the mitzvah that we're doing. But obviously we do the mitzvahs because Hashem tells us to do the mitzvahs. And there's certainly an element of Talmud Torah as well to that Hashem tells us to learn, so we learn. And we don't necessarily need to explain it to ourselves. However, the more we appreciate Torah and the more we understand why we're learning, so that I think we'll be more excited about it, it'll be something that we'll want to do more and more. So those are just a basic disclaimer or two before we start, that there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. And in addition, we learn Torah because we need to know how to do the mitzvahs, and we have certain basic information. But here in yeshiva, we specifically spend a lot of time on iyun. Spend a lot of time all morning pounding out a Tosfos, trying to figure out what was his question, what's his raya, why does he quote this Gemara, why doesn't he quote that Gemara, why did he ask this question here, why didn't he ask this question there, what's the Rambam saying, he sounds like Tosfos, he sounds like the Ritva. Why do we spend so much time on Iyun? Especially, we're learning a Masechta, let's say, that's not so halacha l'maisa. Why do we have to spend so much time? So that's something that I want to try to talk about a little bit. One or two other quick points of introduction. The first is that I gave a shiur on this a few years ago in Shalavim, based on a passage in the Sefer HaTanya of the Alter Rebbe. So I'm not going to be talking about that Mahalach tonight. That's a different Mahalach. For those of you who are very interested in the topic, so I believe it's on YU Torah or it's on the Shalavim website. So if you want, you can look for it. Sefer Tanya, Why We Learn Torah. You could take a look there. That'll be a different perspective of what we're talking about tonight. But tonight I want to try to have a little bit of a fresh perspective. Okay, one last point of introduction. And this is something that I think is a nice benefit to learning all day. But it's not going to be the Iker Mahalach that I want to go with today, but I want to mention it. I haven't mentioned it here in the past. We say in davening, Ki heim chayenu v'yorech yamenu, because Torah is our life. Ki heim chayenu. So why do we spend so much time learning? So I'll give you a mashal. Let's say you are a huge NHL hockey fan. You love to follow the Rangers. So if you're really a Ranger fan, because you know what? I'm going to mess myself up here because I don't know the conferences anymore. But if you're really a Ranger fan, so you don't only watch. You don't only wake up in the morning and, well, now you have, before we had internet, so I remember waking up in the morning, like running out in the snow, like without shoes on, to get the paper, to see the box scores, and to see like how many assists my player had for my rotisserie league, and to see how my team did. So you run to get, you know, you run online, let's say, to ESPN Go, whatever it is, .com, to see the score. But if you're a real Ranger fan, you don't just check the Rangers, but you check how the Capitals do, and you check how all the other Phillies and the Penguins, and you want to see how all the other teams in the conference are doing, because you're obsessed with hockey. And when you get to school, the first thing you talk about with your friends is you talk about hockey. And all day, all you think about is, you think about hockey, you're going to the game next week, you're thinking about it, you try to figure out which jersey you're going to wear, where you're going to sit. You check out the seating in the stadium again to see like what perspective you're going to have of the game, because you love hockey, because it is your life. And there's a little bit of an element of that, Lahavdil, I think, with Torah. Our minds, the way we're built, is that our minds get occupied. The Rambam uses the mashal, that's why I feel comfortable talking about it, with a girl. The Rambam says that when a person is lovesick over a girl, when he's infatuated, obsessed with a girl, so he's thinking about it all day. The Rambam writes this about our love for a Kaddish Baruch Hu should be like that. But that's the mashal that he uses. When you're thinking about someone all the time, you wake up, you're thinking, you know, what's Wayne Gretzky doing right now? And then in the afternoon, you're thinking, are they practicing now? If you're obsessed, that's what you think about all the time. And when you're focused on it, your mind gets obsessed with it. And there's a certain element, now obsession in general for us is not necessarily a positive term, but the idea of being occupied with something. So when we learn Torah often, when Torah is something that we run to do, it's something that we do in our free time, it's something we spend a lot of time on, our minds become occupied with Torah. It's a little bit of an extreme example, but for our perspective, it's obviously, I'll leave it to Emes, it's not extreme, but from where we're coming from, I think you might look at it as a little bit extreme. Rav Volbi, in one of his Sfarim, says that when a person's really connected to Torah, so when he sees a horse, he doesn't just think horse. He says, oh, a chatzar mahaleches. What's the din of a chatzar mahaleches? Oh, he looks at a cow and he sees a cow and he says, kosher animal, split hooves, choose its cud. When you see things, when your mind is on Torah, just like, you know, like with the Rorschach, you know, like they want to see if somebody's like a murderer, so they show him the ink thing, and what's this a picture of? Slicing someone's throat off. Okay, what's this a picture of? Shooting little children. What's this a picture of? Slaughtering squirrels. You know, you see, all you see is whatever you're obsessed with, and it's the same thing with Torah. You know, you turn on the water, and the water is hot, and you say, is it hot, or it's not cold? Right? When a person is really obsessed with learning, so their mind is always thinking about Torah. And I think that's one benefit. I'm not going to use this as my Ikar Malach of why we learn so much, but just the realization that when a person is obsessed with learning, when a person, whenever they have free time, they're learning, it makes their mind, and lahavdil, our minds can be obsessed with other things, right? If you see a movie, so all you're thinking about the rest of the day is, you know, what happened to them after the movie's over, even though obviously they don't exist, they don't have real lives. That's what you're thinking about, like, well, what happened afterwards? Like, you know, why is that? Because your mind is occupied. And there's a certain maila to being occupied with Torah. That's actually, the Rush says, that that's the reason why we don't make a bracha throughout the day on Birchas HaTorah, of Birchas HaTorah. I just learned in the morning, now I go play football. How come when I come back from football, I don't make a new Birchas HaTorah? If I'm going to eat another sandwich, I make another bracha. If I'm going to do another mitzvah, I'm going to make another bracha. Why don't I make the bracha of Birchas HaTorah again? It's because really, we're always thinking about Torah. I know, we're like, well, sort of, yes, no, we're not really 100%, but that's the goal. The goal is that we should always be focused on Torah. So I think there's a little bit of a maila to when a person is constantly learning, his mind becomes a mind that thinks about Torah. That's what you think about when you're free time. Maybe it's a little bit more of the pshat, a little bit of a different understanding. The Gemara, when it wants to know about the maila of Torah, it says, Gedola Torah Shemevi Lidei Maisa. The greatness of Torah is that it brings us to do Maisa. Now, I don't think that has to be understood in such a narrow sense, that if you learn about tzitzis, so you'll wear tzitzis. Gedola Torah, shemevi lidei Maisa. If you think about Shaluach HaKan, then you'll do Shaluach HaKan much more often. I don't know if that's necessarily what it means. What it might mean is, Gedola Torah, shemevi lidei Maisa, that Talmud Torah is so great because the more you think about Torah, the more you're involved with Torah, so the more you have a Torah orientation, and the more you look to do mitzvos, because that becomes your life. You're either a Torah guy. What do you talk about with someone when you're sitting next to them on the subway? So you either talk about the latest movie you saw, you talk about the football game, or you tell them over a good vort that you heard. It's all about what your mind's occupied with. If you're excited because you're watching you saw some great clips from the game last night, so you're excited to tell it to someone, it's because that's what you're occupied with. And if you saw a really great pshat in a ritva, so you're excited to tell it to someone because that's what you're involved with. And that, I think, is a little bit of the goal. The goal is that our mind should be occupied with Torah. Right, so I want to give a mahalach or two. I'm actually going to make 4 points. And the 4 points are all going to try to explain why it's valuable to learn Torah B'Iyun. Now, I'm going to tell you up front that some of them, I think, are more rational, and some of them are more non-rational. Now, I purposely use the term non-rational and not irrational. Irrational would mean that they make negative sense. They don't make sense. They're what? You expect me to believe that? Non-rational just means it's not rational. It's not something that you could, like, prove. It's not something that you say, like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. It's the type of thing that is not irrational. It doesn't sound false, but it's not necessarily something we could prove. So some of the things that we're going to tell you right now I think are rational. Some of them are a little bit non-rational. Doesn't mean they're not true. Just means that they're not necessarily rational. So let's start with the first one. We've been talking a lot about in the past weeks about the maila of a person. What makes a person different than an animal? What makes a person different than all the rest of creation? And what did we highlight in man? What makes man the most unique? His intellect, right. That's what makes man unique and elevates him above the rest of creation, his mind, man's intellect. And we said that intellect is what makes man man. It's what separates you from an animal. As the Maharal points out, there's so many things that you do that animals also do. You eat, you sleep, you procreate. What makes an animal? What makes a human different than an animal? It's his mind. It's the fact that he's able to use his mind to think theoretically. He can think conceptually. That's what makes man unique. So I ask you then, what makes man man? What occupations, not professions, but what occupations make man into man? Using the mind, pursuing wisdom, becoming intelligent, thinking about things. That's what makes man man. It's what makes him, elevates him about the rest of creation, right? We spoke about the builder as opposed to the architect. The builder is the one who's just moving the bricks, but the architect is the mind behind it, the one who's planning it. We spoke about the human element of the architect. So, the greatest way to become a man is obviously to use your intellect in the greatest form. And we spoke about being a physicist is a great use of the mind, and it's more human in a certain sense than using the mind for less elevated things, because the more intellectual and the more mind, so the more man, because that's what makes man man. So whatever the greatest knowledge is would l'chora be the greatest expression of my manhood. You think the greatest expression of manhood is like lifting a big thing and showing off your muscles, you know, giving a little kiss to the biceps. The greatest reflection, the greatest demonstration of man is to use the mind in a sophisticated way. And all of knowledge is elevated. That's something that I want to make sure you know. Torah Judaism has always championed using the mind for all types of intellectual pursuits. Sciences, maths, literature. These are things that Torah Jews have always focused on and spend time on, and tried to master to a degree. The pursuit of knowledge. But all knowledge, the Rambam writes, is a maidservant to the ultimate form of knowledge. Just like you learn arithmetic in order to be able to one day do algebra, to be able to one day do trigonometry, and to be able to do calculus, you learn earlier steps of math, and those are valuable unto themselves. But they also serve in order that you can do more advanced math. So all knowledge, which is all valuable because it all comes from Hashem, all knowledge comes from Hashem, but all of knowledge, as much as it's inherently valuable to itself, it also is instrumentally valuable in that it allows us to understand the world, Torah, and Hashem better. The world, the Bria, Hashem, the creator of the Bria, and Torah. That which Hashem gave to us through Nevuah. So the greatest knowledge is Torah and knowledge of God, as the Rambam writes. The knowledge of God is the greatest knowledge. And therefore Torah, which is a direct transmission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the greatest knowledge that we can learn. Biology, we already spoke about the Rambam and Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah last week. The Rambam says studying the Bria is also extremely valuable and brings us to a recognition of Hashem. But the ultimate knowledge, the Chachma of all Chachmos, is Talmud Torah. And therefore, if we're intellectual beings, and what makes man a man is using his intellect, the greatest knowledge, the greatest wisdom, Torah, is therefore what a person should be involved with. And that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adam L'Amal Yulad. That a person was created to strive, to work hard. On what? The Gemara asks, on Torah. Because Torah is the greatest wisdom that there is in the world. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Bahaloska, we're told about the menorah. The menorah has all of its wicks, lots of different, how many lights? In the menorah? Seven. How many kanim? Three, six, right? Three to each side, six in total. And they all their wicks face how? They face towards the middle. And the middle is one shaft that's very tall above all the other kanim. Why? So says the Netziv, because all of the lights, light, represent chachma. That's what Chachma is, it's light, it's what enlightens us, that's why it's called the Enlightenment, because it was bringing more knowledge into the world. Light, Chachma, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah, or it's knowledge, and all of the lights all face the middle, because what do you think the middle one represents? Torah. And all of the sides of the menorah represent all the other wisdoms in the world. But they're all directed towards Torah, because the goal of all of them is to further illuminate Torah. And the greatest light, the one that stands above all the others, is Torah. Because that's the greatest wisdom that there is. And that's why we champion tradition. Our tradition champions knowledge. And as Jews and as people, we want to maximize the greatest knowledge that's out there. And that's the first reason why we learn Torah. We learn Torah because it is the pinnacle of knowledge. And as intellectual beings, we strive for knowledge. Point number two. The Rambam, it's on your source sheet. The Rambam in his Hakdama to the Parish of Mishnah says, a little bit differently than what we just said, a little bit of a different perspective, even though we're going to get to the same place. But the way the Rambam writes it is as follows. The greatest, and you have to put on your philosophy, your medieval philosophy hats for a second. The greatest knowledge, says the Rambam, Lama nimtza ha'adam, to cut myself off. The Rambam says, why does man exist? Umahisa kavanas yitziraso. What was the purpose in creating man? And when we look into this, we find that man does many things. V'chakru akol pa'ulosav, and the philosophers looked into all of man's actions. L'adas tachlis b'riyaso, to know why man was created. And what was the greatest one? They realized that all pa'ulos that man does are really all there for one. Third line. Hapal ha'echarahu, what is it? V'hapal hazehu l'tzayir b'nafsho ha'sodos ha'muskalos, to use his mind to form conceptual thoughts. Uladat ha'amitos al pi mashahem olav. What does that mean? Ladas ha'amitos. To know truths. Kafi what they are. Says the Rambam, the greatest use of man's mind is to clarify what is truth. Man's mind, when used properly, is able to discern between falsehood and truth. And when man uses his mind to clarify truth, that is man's mind in perfection. I have spoken about this before. If you needed to speak about metal in perfection, iron in perfection. So like iron, maybe you think of like an amazing bridge. You look at it and you say like, that is just iron in perfection. You might look at a nice fancy car and say, oh, that is perfection. Look, that's metal in perfection. Man in perfection is using his mind to clarify truths. So, science is one thing, for instance, that allows us to use our mind to clarify truths. You see that things fall. If you don't know why, you just say, things fall. But when you study more and you understand gravity and you clarify why things fall, so you're getting more towards truth because you're understanding more what the reality is. The scientific properties that cause a reaction, a chemical reaction, or cause gravity to occur, those are the truths, right? Like I would tell you, if you stick your hand in fire, it's going to burn, true or false? True. It's a truth that when your hand is put into fire, it burns. And anyone who says otherwise is saying a falsehood. And the more you understand why your hand burns when you put it in fire, the more you are understanding truth. And that, the Rambam says, is what we're supposed to use our mind for. To clarify truths. Now, this is very important. Because the ultimate truth is reality. If you could explain to me what exactly just happened, right? I just go like, and you're like, what just happened? If you could explain what just happened, maybe there was a bug in the room, maybe I have some type of spasm. Why did I just make these wild flailing arm movements with my arms? For whatever reason, it's a dumb example. But if you could clarify why this happened, the reality, what happened, or there's a murder and they're trying to figure out what happened. They're trying to clarify the reality, what happened. One person was in a window and he thought he saw this. Someone was passing by in their car. They thought they heard that. These are all perceptions. When a person's perception is in line with what really happened, so then that's truth. And we can say this, the easiest way to say this is about like ethics, for instance. Philosophers might argue, is it moral to honor your parents? Is that moral? Where does that morality come from? Is it something that's imposed upon us by our society? Our society has become one that thinks that honoring your parents is good. But it's not necessarily good. This is a debate you could have had with your friends at certain times, colors, right? How do you define what is the reality? The Torah teaches us, and ethics is perhaps one of the best ways to see it. The Torah teaches us that honoring your parents is good, is just. That is a truth. That's a reality. Just like Hashem created the world, that when you put your hand in the fire, and this is a little bit of an abstract concept, you put your hand in the fire, it burns, because that's just the reality, that's the scientific reality. There's a moral reality in the world. When God created the world, He created that honoring your parents is just. That is the reality of the world. It is just. You could argue and try to make up an argument of why it's not true, but that is falsehood. And even if you have good arguments, there's something wrong with your argument because it's false. The reality, the Torah tells us what the reality of the world is. And therefore, when we learn Torah, we are clarifying for ourselves what the reality is. Now, this is going to sound very abstract. And if it doesn't speak to you, it doesn't speak to you. But we're going to, Bezus Hashem, learn Bava Kamma next year. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma says that if you're sure, not if you are sure, if you're sure, Elsie, you're sure, right, you're sure, your ox gores another ox, you're supposed to pay Chatzi Nezek. That is the reality. Hashem, in His infinite wisdom, told us that when you gore, you pay Chatzi Nezek. That is how I, God, the creator of the world, see the reality. That is what is just. This animal is kosher. It is good for you to eat it. That is the reality. Now, I don't think so. I like shellfish, so I'm going to eat shellfish, and you can't tell me what I can do and what I can't do. Okay, you can live in your own world of dimion. You can create for yourself your own world, just like, you know, it's like, for instance, either God looks after my life or He doesn't. Okay, let's say He does. So when I stubbed my toast, that was God. If you don't believe in Ashgacha, so you could say, I think that was just chance. But say, you could think whatever you want. We can have an argument if there was a United States, if there was a revolution in the United States in the 1700s. You can argue as much as you want that there was, and I can argue that there was. You're entitled to your opinion if you want. But one is the reality and one is not. Right? It's like with God's existing. Like either He exists or He doesn't. If you want to deny that He exists, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't change the fact that He exists or He doesn't exist. So the reality is the reality whether a person accepts the reality or not. Torah teaches us the reality of the world. And the more a person has clarified the reality, the more he's using his mind properly. Because again, the purpose of the mind is to clarify reality. So just like a scientist sees a star, or he sees a star flicker, and he knows the reality of what just happened. He knows the gases that are in the star. He knows the chemical properties. He understands what he just saw. When you daven, when you do a mitzvah, and you've learned through the sugya, you know all about Chatzi Nezek, and you know about whether it's Kanas or whether it's Mamona. So you understand the reality of the world. There's a machlokas. It's either Kanas or it's Mamona. And if you know that it's Kanas, or you know it's Mamona, and you know the Rayas, so then you, your mind has engaged reality more than someone who has not learned that. So when we learn Torah, we are getting a glimpse into the world, into the reality of the world. This is likely the Pshat in Avos Rabbi Nosson. Avos Rabbi Nosson tells us the Milo of learning Torah. We're not going to read the whole thing here, but a famous line that you might have heard. What does he say? Talmud Torah chaviva lifnei amakom me'olos, more than a carbon ola. Why? Lefi she'im adam lama Torah, when a person learns Torah, yodeya daito shel makom. He knows the das of Hashem. Hashem, as the author of the Torah, wrote in the Torah for you and for all of us what the reality of the world is, what is just, what is proper, and what reality dictates. And the more we learn that, and the more we understand that, and the more we know what kind of sukkah is kosher, and what kind of sukkah is not kosher, and what makes it kosher, and what the psulim are, that you are knowledgeable in a reality of the world. And that is using the mind properly. It's a glimpse of how Hashem sees the world, and it's a window into reality. And it makes our perception of reality in line with God's perception of reality. Hashem sees the world like this, and when you study Torah, your glasses, your perspective on the world unites with God's perspective in the world. And that's using the mind to the greatest degree that you can. And it's also, by nature, developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is going to be the third point that we're going to talk about. So point number one was that Torah is the greatest knowledge, greatest wisdom. So as wisdom people, we should be trying to pursue the greatest wisdom. Point number two was the Torah tells us the reality of existence, the reality of the world. The Rambam tells us the greatest use of the mind is to clarify the truth, to clarify reality. Torah gives us a perspective of the reality. It tells us what truth is in the world. The third is that Torah helps a person know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have a relationship and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We said last week, Kfi Adeya Tiyava, when a person knows something, he can love something. And that's what the Medrash says, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha. You should love Hashem. We say it in Kriya Shema. How should you love Hashem? So the Pasuk continues. V'dibar Tabam, B'shiftecha B'veisecha, learn Torah. And the Medrash says that, and this is the Sifri on the source sheet here, says the Sifri, second line, Eini Yodea Ketzad O Avim Es HaMakom. I don't know how I'm supposed to love Hashem. Talmud Lomar, V'hayu HaDvar Ma'ila, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom Al Levavecha. Learn Torah. Tein HaDvar Ma'ila Al Libcha. Put these words, take them to heart. Shemitoch Kach, through Torah, Atamakir Es Misha Amar V'hayu Olam. Through Torah, you will come to recognize, to know the one who created the world. Torah gives us a glimpse, not only into the reality, but it gives us a perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've used this example before. If a person is totally crazy about Shakespeare, so then he reads everything Shakespeare wrote. Because the more he knows, reads what the person wrote, the more he understands the person, right? We said, I gave an example, a Havdil. We said that, I ask you, you know Sean Penn? You know Brad Pitt? Yeah, I know Brad Pitt. I mean, I don't know him, but I mean, I know a lot about him. I know what he looks like. I know what he likes. I know how he acts. I know how he behaves. Not only did I see every movie that he was in, but I read his Wikipedia article about him. Maybe I even read a book about him. I heard he was in town, so I went to Times Square to be able to see him. Why? Because when you want to know more about a person, when you like someone, when you want to know more about them, you look at everything that they've done. And by reading their poems and reading their diary or reading their Twitter, well, what do we care about his Twitter account? Because everything that he says, everything that he thinks, you want to know. Because it helps you connect to the person. In Sefer Bamidbar, it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Tmunas Hashem Yabit. He saw a tmuna of Hashem. What's a tmuna? A picture. Pirkei Avos says, Torah is like a photograph of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a person learns Torah, he gets a perspective on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral says that Torah is called, referred to as a tree, Eitz Chaim. Why is Torah referred to as a tree? Because a tree has its source in the root. So to Torah, its source, it's rooted. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the root of Torah. So when you learn Torah, you're really learning about the root. You're learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is also the famous Ramban in the beginning of the Torah. The Ramban says that the Torah is Kulo Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Torah is the names of Hashem. And the Marsha explains that what is a name? A name is something that describes who the person is. Now, obviously, like, we're not talking about how, you know, Yaakov describes who you are. Now, that might be true, because your parents had Ruach HaKodesh when they named you. So they called you Yaakov, so it has something to do with who you are, your essence. But names, it's like when you give something a name. You know, like, the big red shiny thing. You call it, you know, like, let's go over to the red building. Why are you calling it that? Because you're describing it. That's how we, when we term things, we term them, you know, you call someone like tiny. So it probably means he's like a big guy. So you call him tiny, right? Or shorty. He's probably like some really tall guy. But you're using that name, even though it's the opposite, you're using that name in order to give some type of description to the person. That's why we call it. Like they call like, you know, like there'll be an island and they'll call it like Little Hook because it looks like a little hook. The names that you give, what was that? Iceland, Greenland, there you go. Iceland, Greenland. The names that are given are because that's a description. If the Torah is called Shmosav, Kabbalistic literature refers to the Torah as Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean it's the name of Hashem? It means that it's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the picture. It's the root. When we study Torah, we are getting a glimpse into who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So that's point number three. Studying Torah gives us a glimpse into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the deeper we understand Torah, the deeper we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the last, I think that up until now, those were more on the rational side of things. The last one, I think, is non-rational, but it doesn't mean it's not correct. And there's a very rational point that I would like to start with, and that is the challenge that every religion faces. Every religion is struggling with a problem. We are finite human beings. God, seemingly, because he's God, would be something that's beyond our comprehension. Something that's infinite. Something that's totally beyond anything that we could perceive. So how do we, finite, limited creatures, know or have a relationship with something that is the complete opposite of everything that we are? There's no common ground. But how do we have a relationship with Hashem? Where's the common ground? There's no commonality. So every religion struggles with this. So the early religions were pagans, and they made God into like rocks and trees because those are things that they could relate to. Like, here's a tree. I could touch it. I could feel it. I can relate to it. And every religion, in some way, humanized God in an attempt to try to connect to God. The greatest distortion of religion is Christianity, which took God and just made him into a man. Why? What was the attractive element to that? Well, then I can really relate to him. He's not a rock that, like, hello, you know, doesn't respond. He's a man. He's a person. He walked. He walked on the ground that I walked in, so I can relate to him. That's why they made him into a man, to relate to him. So we refuse to do that. We're not going to pull God down to us in order so that we can relate to him. But what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for us, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and knows our limitations? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the teaching of the Zohar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took something in our world, something finite, something that we can touch, something that we can put our hands around, and he said, I am kaviyachol putting my essence into this. This is something physical that if you connect to it, it's as if you're connecting to me. And that are the words of the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, and obviously some of these things are developing off of each other, as a representation of him in the world, kaviyachol. Kut shebricho v'oraisa chadhu. Hashem and the Torah are one, the Zohar teaches us, and the Nefesh HaChaim develops it at great lengths in the fourth shar of his sefer, of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that the Torah is a way that we could connect to Hashem in this world. Something, if we could say it, something finite, something that we could put our hands around, something that allows us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I want to read just very quickly a few lines in the Nefesh HaChaim in order to understand Ad Heichan Advar Magiyim, to what extent the Nefesh HaChaim tells us this. So looking first in Perek Vav. This is the true way to really connect to your learning. Every time a person sits down and he's about to learn, a person should first stop and think about what he's doing. Every time before he learns, before morning Seder. At least for a little bit. And he should think about Yiras Hashem, Tehora, Betaras Alev. He should be mizvade al chatoso, miumka deliba, from the deep recesses of his heart. He should do tshuva. Kedesh te toraso kedosha v'tahora. Notice that when he learns, it should be b'kedusha b'tara. V'yechaven, listen to this line, lizdabik limudo bo b'tora bo b'kadosh baruch hu. And when he learns, he should have kavana to connect to Hashem. Hainu lizdabik b'chol kochosav l'dvar Hashem. To connect with all of his strength to the Dvar Hashem. U'bzeh, and by doing this, by connecting to Dvar Hashem, hu davok bo yizbarach mamish kaviyachol. He is mamish connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's mamish? Rav Chaim Volozhiner didn't just stick it in to be like a little more yeshivish. Why did he stick in the word mamish? Because he wants you to understand, he doesn't mean this in a theoretic, proverbial, homiletic sense. Oh yeah, when you learn Torah, it's connecting to Hashem. Very nice. He says, your davuk bo yizbarach mamish. Ki hu yizbarach v'ritzono chad. They're one. Kimosha Kosov Bezohar. Take a look at the next little piece here from Perek Yud. Bishasa Asek via Iyun Batorah, when a person's learning, when he's involved in Iyun, when he's really probing the depths of Torah, Vadai She'ein Sarach Ozlinyan Hadveikus Klau. Here the Nefesh Chaim is speaking against people who think that they have to like have all these like deep kavanas about Dveikus, Dveikus. He says, just learn. When you're learning on a deep level, you're Davuk. When a person is really engaged in a sugya, he's connected to the will and the words of Hashem. It's all one. And he quotes then an amazing medrash. Says the medrash in Shmos Rabbah. We'll end with this medrash. I'll just summarize at the end and we'll be done. Adam lokeh chayfetz, shema yachol liknos bailov. If you buy a backpack from a backpack salesman, so you've bought the backpack. That's it. You've bought the chayfetz. When you leave the store, the salesman stays in the store. You just bought the backpack from him. That's it. No more relationship with the salesman. That's by when you buy a regular chayfetz. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu nosim Torah Yisrael v'yamar lahem kaviyachol li atem lokhim. Hashem said, I have something to give you. But guess what? When you take this, when you acquire this, you're leaving in the backpack is the salesman. You get home and the salesman's in the backpack with you. When you learn Torah, you're not just getting something from Hashem, but you are taking a Kadosh Baruch Hu with you. And to the degree that you understand the Torah deeply, to that degree, you have acquired a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, it's pashut. I know that you're not going to spend your life doing something that doesn't use the mind. Of course you're going to use your mind because you're a human. You're not going to sit around all day, you know, watching TV with a beer in your hand. That's not going to be the whole focus of your day. You're going to do something that uses the mind. You'll be a physicist. You'll be a doctor. And that's a tremendous use of the mind. But we always have to remember, as important as all that is, and it is important, the greatest pursuit that we can do is Talmud Torah. No matter how much we do it in a day, whether it's a little bit or a lot, the greatest pursuit that we do is Talmud Torah. Our focus in life should be on Talmud Torah. Even though we have our children and we have put our 100% focus into them, I know it's too many hundreds here, but 100% focus into our family, 100% focus into our jobs in order to be able to have parnasa to support our families, and all of that is a mitzvah and it's chashuv and it's important. But where's your head? Obviously, when you're sitting there doing brain surgery on someone, you're not supposed to be like thinking about the ketzos. You're supposed to be thinking about the brain surgery. That's what you're supposed to be focusing on. That's what your responsibility is at that time towards the patient. But whenever our minds are free, as opposed to thinking about the hockey game or as opposed to thinking about the movie, it should be involved in Torah ki hem chayenu. So we mentioned a few things. We mentioned, first of all, the value, and that's what I just mentioned, the value of having your mind occupied in Torah. But then we spoke about four things that I think set aside Torah as a tremendous pursuit to learn Torah bi'iyun and to learn it deeply. Number one is because it's the most elevated knowledge, and therefore it's the greatest act of humanity, because as humans, we're intellectual beings. Number two, it is the greatest clarifier of truth, and our minds were given to us to clarify truth and reality. It gives us perception of the world. Number three, it helps a person know who God is. If you want to be like God, you have to know who He is in order to be like Him. And number four, it brings us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it is kaviyachol, in a certain sense, a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our world, and it's the way that we connect to Him. So Hashem should help all of us, that our whole lives, we should always have a strong, intimate relationship with Torah. It's not about how much, but it's about the intensity and the degree to which we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're about to start Shavuos. And Shavuos, as we know from the Shlah, is the Gezar Din for the year. It's the Rosh Hashanah for Limud HaTorah. We should all have a tremendous Yom HaDin of Limud HaTorah, and it should propel us for the future to be able to accomplish all four of these things.